Today is Wednesday, May 16th. This is the Women's Chumashir. We're up to Bereshit, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Bereshit, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. We actually read Zayin, Chet, Tet, and Yud, and Yud Aleph. And last week we focused on Professor Breuer's theory that in order to resolve the conflict amongst brothers, in most cases one episode was enough. In the case of Hagar and Yishmael vis-a-vis Yitzchak, two episodes had to be described in order to resolve the conflict, because one conflict was between Sarah and Hagar, and the other one was between Yishmael and Yitzchak. So on two separate occasions, Hagar leaves Avram's household. In the first case, he resolves the conflict between Sarah and Hagar as to who is the legitimate aim of Am Yisrael. That's what we are up to. And then in next parsha that we learn, Vayera, that is the resolution of the conflict as to which of Avram's children will be the legitimate heir to his religious throne. So we had read the Psukim, but had not seen any of the commentary on Pasuk by Pasuk. So we will review them and do that today. So if you take a look at the Pasuk, we'll read again Pasuk Zayin and Chet. Vayimtza'a, she, Hagar, ran away. Vayimtza'a, Malach Hashem, an angel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu found her, Al Ein Hamayim Bamidbar, near a well of water in the desert, Al Ha'ayin, at the well, B'derech, Shur, on the way to Shur. So, if you take a look, at Rashi, doesn't say anything here. If you take a look at on page number 26, of course.
I numbered them because those are the Yankees who played a significant role in a victory. Number 20, or so 26 was Tyler Austin.
Right.
That was yesterday's game. It didn't result in a victory because it rained. It was raining. It was 3-0, and the game will be resumed tonight at 5:05. But he hit the two. He drove in all three runs. So that's for number 26. And then the game before that was 27-40, which is Stanton and Severino. That's the game before that. So you have to know your Yankees in order to appreciate where we're learning anything. Okay? So on page 26, look at the Sfarno, and he makes a very interesting observation. He says, Vayim tza'a malach Hashem, matza ota muchenet limarot Elohim. An angel found her as she was prepared to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to speak and be seen by a Malach Elohim. Uvechein nirala, and therefore the Malach appeared to her, where? Al Ein Hamayim. And how does he interpret the significance of it happens to be a well? Mitpalelet. She was praying. Can anybody give me a famous Kalbach song where the words are lifted from Shir HaShirim? From Megillas Eicha. From Megillas Eicha, where there is an equation between Tfilah and Mayim. Shifchi kamayim libei nochach pnei Hashem. So says the Sfarno, what enabled this ordinary person, very ordinary, shivcha, to be worthy of an angel representing God speaking to her. If you read Rambam in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah and Hilchos Tshuva, and in great elaboration in Moreh Nevuchim, he writes that in order to be worthy of Nivu'ah or Ruach HaKodesh or anything, just any divine communication whatsoever, you have to have worked on yourself and prepared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just come to you and me, just like that. So, therefore, Sfarno says, if an angel is going to appear to Hagar, we have to assume that there was some type of preparation for it. And therefore, he makes the comment that the discovery or the encounter between the Malach and Hagar was Al Ein HaMayim, which is not simply a well, but it's symbolic. The water of the well is symbolic of her prayer. And as a result of her prayer, it was so intense, so meaningful, so worthy of, so full of kavanah, meant it so sincerely, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, via an angel, appears to her. It's a very important comment. But then, he also makes a second comment about an Ein HaMayim. And he comments a little later on, in the second one, El Ha'ayin Al Eim HaDerech, on the simple pshat is, what does it mean, Al Ha'ayin? It means on the primary road, but on Broadway. It's not that this encounter takes place in a little backyard. This is on the main road. U'kishiyesh shnei drachim yikru'u einayim. And when there are two roads, a crossroad, the Torah refers to it as what? Einayim. The crossroad is, again, often symbolic of what prayer can effect and the choices that we make. The Gemara often expresses, whenever you have two different paths to take, it's described as coming to Prashat Drachim, which he calls Einayim, where you have two choices. Am I going this way or going that way? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he was about to die, he was crying furiously. And his students asked him, Lama ata boche? Why are you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, crying? You're such a righteous person. And he said, because I, like everybody else, is going to have to face, I'm going to go up a road, and I have no idea which road HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to assign me to go. To the one to Gan Eden or to the one to Gehinnom? And they asked him, why are you worried about going to Gehinnom? And he said, because I had one encounter in my life where I had to make the most important decision on behalf of Am Yisrael, and I don't know if I made the right one. If you know the history of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived at the time of Churban HaBayit, and he had an opportunity to make one request from Vespasian, the king of Rome. The military general, the king of Rome's primary military officer. And he could have chosen to have the Beit HaMikdash, but he didn't. He asked for what?
Yavne.
For Yavne. Exactly. To have a safe haven for Yavne. And at the end of his life, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I don't know if that was the right decision. If I made the right decision, so the road which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take me on is to Gan Eden. If, however, I made the wrong decision, I should have asked for the Beit HaMikdash, then who knows what's going to happen to me. So Sfarno is very right in telling us that Hagar here is facing a serious crossroad in her own life as to what direction she's going to be taking. And number one, she prays, and that's why it's Al Ein Hamayim. She prays, and therefore she now succeeds in having a court, as we'll see, whether it's one or four, Dvar Hashem communicated to her by these various angels. By various angels. Yeah.
Why does it repeat Al Hamayim twice?
Because the first time it just tells us that it was water. Now it tells us where this water well was. Al Ha'ayin B'derech Shur. On the way to Shur, which leads to Mitzrayim. That's the point. It's Shur, this road, wherever it was, everybody says that, leads to Mitzrayim, because she came from Mitzrayim. Having been thrown out from Avram's house, she figured she'll go back to her homeland, which was Mitzrayim. Yes?
So she was already influenced by Avram and Sarah to pray to Hashem?
Yes.
Egyptian?
Precisely. Exactly. Good point. She was so in. Her time spent in Avram's house enabled her to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not to the pagan idols that the Egyptians. It's a very good point. Excellent point. Yes.
He said HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send off to people who pray, but what about people who suffer? Because she suffered also.
It doesn't say a lot of people suffer. But you don't necessarily hear the resolution or what to do about that suffering from God Himself. You don't. Here, she will be in contact with an angel from God. It's whatever that means.
People suffering who felt that Hashem spoke to them or a malach.
Okay, it's unlikely that a malach spoke to them. They could be inspired, you know, to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guiding them in a particular direction. But to say that an angel spoke to you is, you know, that's not very easy. Yeah. Yes. So take a look at this, and then we'll see Rashi does comment on something. So number one, Malach finds her. Vayomar, and he says to her, Hagar, Shivchat Sarai, E mizeh bat, v'anat elechi. Where are you coming from and where are you headed? Vatomer, and she said, "Mipnei Sarai Givirti Anochi Boracha." Vayomer lo Malach Hashem, "Shuvi el Givirti, return to your master." Vehit ani tachat yodeha, and you will continue to suffer under her control. Vayomer lo Malach Hashem, "Harba arbe et zareich velo yisafer meirov." I will increase your children; they will be so difficult to count. That because of they will be so plentiful. Vayomer lo Malach Hashem, Hina hara v'yoladet ben, v'karat shmo Yishmael, ki shama Hashem el onyech. God heard your suffering, therefore you will call your son Yishmael. So start with Rashi in Pasuk Tet. Rashi is troubled, as many Parshanim are. Why does it say Vayomer, Vayomer Hamalach four times? The assumption would be that it's one malach and he's talking. And there's a dialogue that's taking place. So there would be one malach and he says, Hagar, where are you going? And she says, I'm running away. And he says, go back. And he says, you know, so the word Vayomer lo Malach Hashem should have been written once and that's all you need. Okay, so that's going to be Rashi and the Midrash. We'll see. We'll take a look at it. So take a look at Rashi. Vayomer la Malach Hashem. Al kol amira haya shaluach la Malach Acher. For each one of the communications, a separate Malach was sent. Lekach ne'emar Malach b'chol amira v'amira. And for this reason, the word Vatomer or Vayomer appears each time. So we briefly mentioned this 2 weeks ago, and we said that it's actually very difficult. If we understand when Rashi says this in Vayera, that there were Shlosha Anashim, who were Malachim, because they each had a different function. And each malach is assigned one function. Here, it's only one function. What's the function of the Malach Hashem in this episode? To talk to Hagar. That's all. Why do you need... No one. We've never seen any place that it's recorded that each sentence relayed by a Malach has to be what? Has to be a different Malach. Does anybody know another comparable situation which the Midrash will bring in again about a woman who doesn't have a child and a Malach communicates with her? Besides Chana. What? Shimshon's mother. Who is that? What? Mrs. That's correct. We don't know her name. That's precisely who's called. Eshet Manoa. It is the Haftarah of Parshat Naso. Because in Parshat Naso is the Parsha which describes a Nazir. So Shimshon's going to be a Nazir. And the Malach comes and gives the instructions, and nobody comments that it's a long-running discussion and that somebody else had to have three malachim because the guy said three sentences. No one signed that. It's a very difficult read by Rashi. Very difficult read by Rashi. Yes?
Anyone question why Hagar was deserving of all this attention?
No. That's what I just said. It was just because I understand. It's impossible for us to know how God judges people and when He decides to respond personally or not. It's very difficult. I don't know.
But
yes.
There aren't really three jobs that each Malach is talking about, right? The first time he talks, it's to return.
But that's his job is just to tell her what to do. In the other cases, there is an action that has to be done by the Malach. The Malach has to tell Avraham that he's going to have a child. Sarah's going to have a child. The Malach has to destroy Sodom. Another Malach has to save Lot. So each one was a separate activity. Here, the Malach's doing nothing. Also, he's talking. Talking to her. What are the separate activities for which you would require a separate malach simply because he's making three statements? It's a little difficult. Now, the Midrash goes above and beyond Rashi, so please, for a second, go to page 40. That's Severino's number. Who pitched on Sunday, who's now 6-1, and who's pitched over the last 2 years more games where he gave up only one or no runs than anybody else. 14 starts already. Over the last 2 years where he's only given up one or no runs. You can tell this thing. See? I bet your husband doesn't know that one. Okay. So if you look on the bottom, the Alshich on the bottom of page 40, V'hinei al zechut Avram ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahamtzi la arba'a malachei hamerkava u'shchina imahem. So you ask a question, why does Hagar deserve it? So he already answers that question. It's not that she deserved it in her own right. Why does she deserve it? Bizechut Avram. She is married to Avram. And on the merit of Avram, she now merits discussing this. And look at the expression of the Alshech. Arba'a malachei hamerkava. What does that remind you of? The Ma'aseh Merkava. We're going to read it on the first day of Shavuot. It's the Haftarah, the first day of Shavuot. And the Mishnah in Chagiga, I'm going to talk about that the first night of Yantiv, says you're not allowed to discuss it and learn it with more than one person in your group. Now let's discuss that whole chapter of the Ma'aseh Merkava, which is the first chapter in Yechezkel, with more than one person. So the imagery that he claims is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming on his chariot And who are the wheels of the chariot? The wheels of the chariot are four angels. Uhulihiyot isha vishivcha lo zachta tidaber ima hashchina miyad. And because she was a shivcha and a woman, the shechina did not feel it would be appropriate to what? To speak to her right away directly. Rak shita'ale b'hadraga. Just, but what? To go up. Each statement is going to be made by another angel who represents a higher level closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he said, Rishona tireh hamalach hakatan me'arba'a raglei hamerkava. The first one was the lowest angel of the four wheels of the wagon. V'acharav asher lemala hamenu. And the next one was a little more significant. Ad harevi'i hu hagadol shebahem. Until the fourth one speaks, and he is the greatest of the angels. V'achar shehu chana lahasig kav lekav. And after she now went up level after level, tidaber ba hashchina, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will speak to her. Tidaber ba hashchina al yidei hachanat arba'atan bahadraga, based on that she was prepared to ultimately hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How was she prepared? Because she heard little malach number one, then a little more sophisticated malach, then a really sophisticated malach. Tidaber b'ashkina ve'alkein hutzrichu l'daber ima arba'a malachim. We asked on Rashi, why did it have to be four different angels? Why? Because each angel represents a different level of spirituality. Sha'al yidei dibur ima kol echad haita kone hachana el hakdusha. She would now receive preparation to hear the divine word. V'hu ki arba'a melachim hein Michael, Gabriel, Rifael, and Nuriel. Those are the four angels. And next page, and he writes, V'yadua, and everybody knows, now on page 99, that's Judge, Aaron Judge's number, page 99, Aaron Judge. Of course. So Judge, who's also was helpful in the win on Sunday. The judge, V'yadua hakatan hu bebchinas hadin harafeh ishchina, that Michael represents the lowest level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that level represents midat hadin. V'Rafael bechinat rachamim. V'Gavriel Bechinat givurat hadin, triumphing over the din, uMichael bebechinas hachesed kanoda, and Michael is representing midas hachesed. I know, but he calls it now. First he called it Nuriel, and now he's calling it Michael. Okay. So, according to this Alsha, he has Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Nuriel. Okay, but what do I? And now he's going to tell us which statement each angel made. Which statement each angel made? Bekat v'hakatan heichel. And in the smallest one, what did he do? He started. And you know, everybody know a parallel to that? Bakaton hechel chila. When Yosef ran after the brothers, after he set them up as being thieves to have stolen his silver goblet, so the servants now come and he tell them all to unpack their loads. And the Tosh says, Bakaton hichila. He started with the least possible suspect. And that's, you know, Vayomer lo Hagar Shifchat Sarai. Kiloma. Hine at Shifcha. Vihi Sara Ugviralah. I want you to know, my dear little Hagar, you are still a Shifcha. You might think that you've been liberated by marrying Avram, but the angel tells her, absolutely not. E mize bat, me eze yiches bat shetigdili aleha. Not where have you come from physically, but rather what? Me ayin batas, what's your lineage that you now claim to be what? Superior to Sarah. Ve'ana telchi, and where in the world are you headed? Shetikni shleimut, that you are going to have a capacity in your next location to become a more wholesome person. Yoter mi biyot shivcha nichna asla, as opposed to what? Being a shivcha who is what? Subservient to Sarah, that's where you're going to acquire your greatest accomplishments. So where are you going? Where are you going? Vehein eile divrei din virogez me'ein bichinato. This type of a statement, it's not a terribly compassionate argument. It's done with a measure of anger. Where are you going? And din. Where do you think you've come from to think that you have a right to what? To think that you're more superior to Sarah. As hodat, after that, she admitted the amra, and she said, hadinima, you're right. Ki modeh ani, I now acknowledge, this is from the pasuk, ki hi givirati, she says, where did I come from? From Sarah, who is my master. She is admitting it. V'lo tekal od be'enai. And what will happen? I will not look at her as being garbage, the way I was thinking about her up until now. Hine hamalach haya kala inyano, v'heviya lumutav shetakir erka. This malach completed job number one. What did job number one accomplish? That he got Hagar to recognize who she was and what her ultimate worth was. So he accomplished his mission. Hence, it's time to move on to another malach. V'achar shehuchana kitzat al yidei hakatan. Now that Hagar has been prepared by the lowest ranking malach, Bar Rafael shemibinat mibichinat rachamim. Now Rafael comes, who acts with a measure of compassion. The Omar, and he says, Shuvi el givirteich, go back to your master. Vehit ani, vehayi tachat yada, ki terachamech. I want you to return. Number one, that's an act of compassion on behalf of Sarai. Why is it an act of compassion? Because if you ran away, fair for yourself. I don't have to take you back. Number one, she will take her back. And I know that going forward, she is no longer going to do what? Oppress you. I know, says the Malach, that Sarai will not oppress you any longer. So that's demonstrating a source of compassion, symbolized by the Malach Rifael. One, that she will take you back with open hands, open arms. Two, she will no longer work you to the bone as she had over the last couple of who knows how long. How long? Umizeh alta el hamalach, Gavriel shelamalahim. Now she's prepared to hear Gabriel, who is on a higher level, and what does he say? The Omarla, harbe, arbe, etzareh. I will multiply your children. Sheharibui hu mibechinato kanoda. Who is ultimately responsible for multiplying anybody? Who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the one who will respond to you directly and multiply you going forward. So therefore, this Malach is Gabriel. He's the one who supports her in this regard. And then, V'achar kach, Alta al-davar al-diber eleha ha-malach Michael u-bisra al-heherayon v'haleida. And now, it's not just an empty promise, oh, you're going to have lots of children, but indeed informs her, the fourth level, that what? She's indeed pregnant, and that she is going to give birth to a child. U-shishoma Hashem et anya, God heard her, understood her suffering. Shahakol al tzad hachesed. From here on in, everything is going to work out very positively for her. V'gam hu nityaches lebesurazu ki hu asher ba levaseret sara al heirel yona ka'et chaya ulesara ben. So this, Mr. Gabriel, that's his job. That's his job. He lets people know that they are what? They're pregnant. He let Hagar know that she's pregnant. Later on, next week's parsha, a Malach comes and says, you Sarai, what?
Didn't he tell Abraham that she's pregnant?
Okay, but it's, Michal, Michal, yeah. No, it's who was the one who said it that she's pregnant? Yeah, the top one, Michael. Okay, whoever he is. Michael. So he's the one who now goes, according to him, goes to be Mevaser Sarah. Okay. So as to the question as to why there are four different angels, four different Vayomers, so at least he tells us what function each one has and why it's necessary to have four different spokesman to communicate this. Yeah.
How does it say when you can, it just goes right into what happens? Normally you would expect that, no?
Yes, you could have. You're right that the text doesn't actually tell us that she went back to the house. The assumption is that she did everything. That's the assumption. But you're right, the Torah could have said, Vayasha, Fagar, whatever it is, could have done that. Yeah. Now, if you remember, I think we alluded to this difficulty. According to Rashi himself, Hagar was already pregnant before she got thrown out of the house. In fact, that's what created the problem. That's how she decided to come to the conclusion that she's more superior. So, Rashi, when he now says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, now go back to Rashi for a second, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hinachara, what does he say? Kishe Toshuvi Tahari. When you return, you will get pregnant. You will get pregnant. Now, how does Rashi resolve that? If he himself said that she was already pregnant, good. So Rashi also told us that, well, I don't know if Rashi did, but we read a Medrash last time, that she lost the baby. She lost the baby. I remember who said it. I know we mentioned it. That she lost the baby. So Rashi doesn't say that she lost the baby, but you're going to have to assume that she lost the baby initially, and now she is going to become pregnant a second time. Yes.
That she would name him, but Abraham names
That happens every single time. Whoever is this instruction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also said that his name is going to be Yitzchak. And yet, when he's born, Avram calls him Yitzchak. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who suggests it. Here also HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's part of the angel, Vayomu Mach Hashem, V'karas Shemo Yishmael. You are to call him Yishmael. So she went home and told Avram about this discussion. So the Torah reports that Avram called him Yishmael. Is that exactly the way he was told to do so? Exactly. Now, a different perspective on this repetition is suggested by Radak. Go to page 26, and he is certainly not going to be influenced by any of these midrashim with angels and so on and so forth. Look on the left-hand side of page 26, on the left side, Pasuk Tes to Radak. And he writes very simply. Vayomer. Amar shalosh pe'amim vayomer. It says in these brief three or four psukim, vayomer, the Malach said three times. Bamesh amar lo, in order to communicate what he said, it says three times. Ki chein hu minhag hakatuv bimikomot. That is biblical style. Uba lichakein lichazek hamaamar kimoshe katavnu rabim mehem b'sefer. As I've indicated many times throughout Tanakh, that as a means of simply strengthening, emphasizing that this is a heavenly, divine dialogue. Therefore, the Torah emphasizes Vayomer Malach Hashem, Vayomer Malach Hashem, and don't run right away to Midrashim that it is separate angels. You don't need that. It happens often that the Torah uses repetitive expressions simply on account of the fact that you're trying to make emphasis to it. Emphasis to it. Yeah. Yes, question.
Yeah.
Because Harba Mizrach can be 15 years from now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told that to Avram many times, and yet she wasn't pregnant. So here, that I'm going to promise you that you're going to be multiplied in many, but I'm also telling you it's happening starting tomorrow morning. You're already pregnant right now. Inach Haravi Olad is pregnant.
To
the reading, she lost the baby.
She had lost it before about 6.
Correct. 100%. Continues the Radak. And then he quotes, in the middle of that paragraph, he says, V'yesh drash, ki shlosha malachim, shalach ha'el ze'achaseh, and so on and so forth. And he writes, right after the line, after the number 42, V'amru, Uma shifachot ha'avot nigla ha'malach gimel v'dalet pa'amim v'lanu afilu achas. No. We have to feel very badly because HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks directly to the servants of Avraham, and to us he doesn't say a bloody word. He doesn't say a bloody word. Now, this comment always prompts me to state something that I really believe. The overwhelming majority of people believe that the reason why Nivu'ah has been eliminated from the time of the end of the first Beit HaMikdash, during Bayit Sheni, only at the beginning there was some Nevi'im, but at the end of Bayit Sheni, that's it, there are no more Nivu'ah, is because nitkatnu hadorot. What does that mean? Nitkatnu from katan. The generations have become less spiritual, less worthy of communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the standard fare. and they try to make you feel guilty, as the Radak is trying to make us feel guilty. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Hagar 3 times, and to me, he never said a word. I really believe it's just the opposite. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to appear in the form of Nivuah and appear to Am Yisrael is because otherwise they would never have believed in him. When you don't have a background like we have, that it's been inculcated in our minds for 3,000 years that there is a Rabbi Yeshua. You heard it from your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your parents, and you say it over to your children and to your grandchildren, and you hope they'll listen. But in our day and age, it's not necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to communicate with us, because we already have a couple of thousand, you know, at the time of Bayit Sheni was already 1,000 years, almost 2,000 years of tradition. And it wasn't necessary any longer. In order for somebody to observe the Shabbos at that time, you had to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach it like show and tell in kindergarten. Here comes the man. Look at the man, it's at your doorstep. Friday is going to be a double portion. Shabbos is going to be no man. Therefore, I don't want you to do anything on Shabbos. We don't need divine communication today to convince us to observe a Shabbos. And that's why I also believe that it's the same debate. Why are there no nisim geluyim? Only nisim behind the scenes. Right? Why? Because at that time, if you didn't have a nes golu, you're not going to believe in this god as opposed to the other pagan gods that everybody was claiming is the legitimate god. Today, we know who the Rabbi Yishalom is. And when good things happen to Am Yisrael, we know not to attribute it to our own ingenuity, our own talents, our own ability. We know to offer praise unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here Radak is bemoaning the fact, you know, he's like belittling himself, you know, I'm not as worthy as Hagar. May not be the case. May not necessarily be the case. I also happen to believe that that's why the Torah itself doesn't elaborate on many of the essential elements and principles of faith. Right? There's nothing in the Torah black and white about Tchiyas HaMeisim. It's one of the 13. It's the last one. It's the 12th of the thing. The Torah doesn't elaborate on Mashiach. Why? So some people say, I don't know why, but I think it's based on the fact that that's a lower level of Yahadut. Somebody who goes ahead and observes only because I'm going to experience Tchiyas HaMeisim, I'm going to have Olam Haba, I'm going to welcome in the Melech HaMashiach, we want Mashiach now. Those are nice reasons to observe, but it's not the most fundamental reason. The most fundamental reason why you observe is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to. And we understand our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it doesn't have to be predicated on a little bone that he's going to say, you know what, you're going to go through Tchiyas HaMeisim, you're going to have Olam Haba. That's why the Torah is the ideal book. The Nevi'im are the practical books. In the ideal world, the Torah doesn't have to tell us about anything. Rashi scratches his head and says, it says, Oz Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael at Hashiva Hazal. So what does Rashi comment? It should have said, Oz Shar Moshe. In the past tense. Why Yashir? Mikan Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah. That's a reference to Tchiyas HaMeisim. Rashi says that in a handful of places. Yeah, question.
Because they were on that lower level of belief, it was really for the Jews to see every aspect of God in each
Makkah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yes, yes.
It just struck me when we were looking at this that Hashem's reaction to Hagar sending the Malach is a direct contrast to what Sarah did, torturing her. Like Sarah wanted to show that she was more important, and and did that by torturing her. But God is sort of saying, you know, you could be more important, you could still be kind, you could still, you know, maybe it's in a way showing that Sarah's behavior was not right.
That could be very well. That could very well be, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Furthermore, if you take a look at, for a second, look at Sfarno on the bottom of page 26, makes a similar point but describes it a little differently. E mizeh bat v'anat telechi kiloma. Habiti uri, I want Hagar to want you to think for a minute. Me'ezer makom nasata. From what direction, from what place have you decided to leave? Ki hayita b'makom kadosh u'bebeit hatzadikim. You were in a house of a holy house and in a house of righteous people. V'hinech holechet b'chutz la'aretz. El makom tamei v'anshei resha. Where are you headed? You're headed to Mitzrayim, which is an abominable land with terrible people. And as a result, why are you doing this? And she answers, I'm running away from Sarai. Says Sfarno, Eini holechet el makom mechuvan me'iti. I have no idea where I'm really going. I don't have any plans. What happened? Elayatzati kidevroa. The only reason why I left was not because I have any better place to go to, because I couldn't take it anymore in this holy place. And that's, again, that could very well be the right pshat about v'ana telchi, where you headed, and her response is anochi barach, and I'm running away, but I don't necessarily have any direction as to where I'm going. Yes.
Is there any kind of an addressing of the fact that Yishmael would be, she'd be going back and then Yishmael would be there? Is there like a plan that, you know, maybe he should be in Avram's house? Is there any kind of recognition of what he would become?
When we get to the next parsha, we'll see that was precisely Avram's thought. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending Yishmael back with Hagar, that he wants her to be under his tutelage. And he reacts very negatively when Sarah says, get rid of her. He understood that Yishmael was to be under his tutelage and produce a decent human being. That was his expectation. But take a look at the Radak on 26, the second Radak. He seriously disagrees with what we said 2 minutes ago in the name of Rashi about her losing the child. Because that doesn't say any place. Says, look at the Radak. Vayoma. Hinach hara. You are present. Omar lo. Ze. Liptichat hadvarim. He said to her that what? She's pregnant just to what? Have a nice little conversation. Ki kvar yadahi ki mi hara. She knew very well that she was pregnant. How do I know? Kimosh Amar. 5 psukim earlier, what does it say? Vatere kiharata. She saw that she was pregnant. So why does he have to tell her that she was pregnant? So the Radak says, this statement, it's not that she was pregnant and lost a child. That's Rashi and the Midrash's business. She was pregnant once, and that's it. In order to begin the conversation, that this Malach knows something about her, he starts off by saying, even though it's recorded at the end, according to Radak, that was his opening statement. Hagar, I'm coming to tell you, I'm speaking in the name of God. She's going to look at him and say, yeah, sure, he's a, you know what? You're pregnant. Now, she might have been pregnant for 2 days, for 3 days. Nobody's going to know that she, it's not that she was already showing because it was 5 months.
She wouldn't have known.
What?
She wouldn't have known either.
No, she did know, apparently. Because it says Vatere Kahara. She saw that she was pregnant.
She probably would have known.
Okay, but who? A month, whatever it is. At a time when she knew. She knew. You know better what time that is than me. That's all. But again, it shows you the stark contrast between Parshanim who like to rely on Midrashim and others who will, you know, do something else and say this was the opening dialogue, even though it's recorded last, it's the opening dialogue to get a discussion going and not rely on Midrashim that she was pregnant and lost it. Yeah.
Isn't that the difference between Asfari Parshanim and Ashkenazi Parshanim? That Ashkenazi rely more Midrash and Asfari look at the text more?
Correct. That happens to be very much true. Very, very, very true. And in fact, somebody pointed out that it's v'nahafochu, that in today's day, it is exactly, it is the Sephardic poskim and parshanim who are very Kabbalistic, Medrash oriented, and the Ashkenazim who are much more literal to simple text, and that's it. Some people have pointed that out. It's a very good point. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, people made that in the comment in response to the way things have changed with the Rambam. The Rambam writes his book in his introduction saying, now that I've written my book, there's no necessity for any more books. Because, and he didn't mean that you shouldn't learn anymore, that's for sure. But that's what many people accused him of, that he was advocating not to study Talmud any longer. Not what he meant. He meant that to be a good Jew, you don't have to look anyplace else for the halacha. And it is the Ashkenazim who have placed such a premium on the Rambam's word for psak halacha, and it is the Sfardim in areas of psak have gone much more overboard on Kabbalistic influence in deciding psak halakha, which the Rambam was a dead set against. Dead set against.
Like what? Do you have an example?
Oh, yeah, sure. Like things, about not going to cemeteries if you're women and children. Sfardim are much more nuts about those things than we Ashkenazim are. Much more so.
I call it superstitious.
They are. That many of them are. But some have made their way. Some have made their way into Shulchan Aruch.
Oh.
The fact that a child and a parent cannot receive an aliyah one after another is a superstition.
Yeah,
but they name after the living.
That's correct. They do name after the living. That's correct. But it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and we observe that. Two brothers can't get an aliyah one after another, father and son. It was quoted by the Mechaber, and that we, Ashkenazim, have adopted it. We have that practice today. But it's based on our superstition that there are going to be angels, demons rather, hovering over the Sefer Torah, and it's going to attack two members of the same family if they're both called up. They're standing there next to each other, so don't give the demons an opportunity to attack two different members of the same family. Okay.
Do you believe in demons?
No, I don't. But there are plenty of halachot that are based on it. Plenty. Okay. All right, we'll stop here, and then we will move on to a description about Yishmael, and try to finish up this particular perek, and then the perek about Brit Milah.